Court Orders DCA to Accept Prisoner's Braille Filing by Jan Pudlow, Senior Editor. From the Editor, this article is reprinted with permission from the Florida Bar News, where it appeared on September 15, 2012. The fight for Braille frequently occurs in schools, sometimes in libraries, and sometimes in businesses and other places where the public is invited. Readers will find this most interesting. Perhaps it portends a wider acceptance of Braille by government at the local, state, and federal levels. It doesn't matter if he's a blind guy locked up in prison for life with a penchant for papering the court with pro se filings. He still has the right to equal access to the courts like anyone else. In this case, that means the clerk of the 4th District Court of Appeals should have accepted his letter in Braille rather than simply writing on a form, "We are unable to accept your Braille correspondence." That's what a unanimous Florida Supreme Court said in a recent decision in Demetrio R. Gabriel v. State of Florida, case number SC09-993, when it held Gabriel was entitled to mandamus relief. The quietly released unpublished opinion, ending more than 3 years of litigation, was discovered by Miami disability rights attorney Matthew Dietz while doing research on cases under Florida Rule of Judicial Administration 2.540. This was so brand new. I thought, oh my God, this is great how the court gave it a huge boost by saying this is not only the rule, but also essential to due process. It's something that we should be proud of. All of the, bracket, participating, close bracket, justices put their names on this decision, which gave it more of a directive that the court was not going to tolerate the denial of due process, Dietz said. At the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore, Director of Public Relations Christopher Danielson said, "I would say it's very unusual for a court to do this and not something we would demand as a blanket rule." But with a pro se litigant stuck in prison, Danielson said, his reading and writing medium is Braille, and he doesn't have a way to get his pleadings to court in print, then it is a pretty important accommodation. Gabrielle's case was handled pro bono by Stephen Sen and Timothy Kiley of Peterson and Myers in Lakeland. "Access to the courts is what it's all about," said Sen, a member of the Florida Bar Appellate's Practice Section. The Florida Supreme Court did what the 4th DCA should have. They found somebody who could translate the Braille and interpreted it as a writ of mandamus to require the DCA to accept his Braille filings. At the first pro bono, appellate lawyers met with resistance from the Attorney General's office, who called their client a pesky liar who should be disciplined in prison. Gabriel has misrepresented his need for accommodations to this court. Gabriel's own handwritten filings have been accepted by the 4th District Court of Appeals for over 25 years. The 4th District appropriately rejected Gabriel's attempt to amuse himself and inconvenience the court through the use of Braille filings, Special Counsel Lisa Raleigh wrote in the Attorney General's response. Gabriel requires no accommodation to access the courts, and even if he did, the law does not require the exact accommodation requested by Gabriel. It is sufficient that the courts accept his handwritten pleadings. Raleigh argued, "The most appropriate remedy is to both request discipline by the Department of Corrections and to bar further unrepresented litigation." But, as Sen and Kiley were able to show through DOC records, Gabriel's eyesight had worsened over time to the point he was deemed legally blind in 2007, and prescription glasses provide no help. His most effective way to communicate is by using a Braille typewriter, they said. Simply because Mr. Gabriel can, with difficulty in using large-lined paper, scrawl out a letter, he is not thereby barred from protection of the ADA, Sen and Kiley wrote in court documents. The AG's office eventually stipulated that Gabriel is indeed blind. Because he is incarcerated in state prison, Mr. Gabriel cannot seek other forms of accommodation, such as voice recognition computer software or other technological accessories, Sen and Kiley wrote in their amended petition for writ of mandamus. His ability to be heard rests substantially upon the 4th DCA's acceptance, without prejudice, of his Braille documents. The Florida Supreme Court agreed. The substantive merit or lack of merit in the petitioner's underlying claim does not determine the ADA, bracket, Americans with Disabilities Act, close bracket, analysis, the justices said. The 4th District has refused to provide the petitioner with an accommodation as mandated by the ADA and the Florida Rules of Judicial Administration. The petitioner has no remedy available other than to petition this court for relief. Because the Supreme Court had accepted jurisdiction, it exercised its discretion also to address the substantive merits of Gabriel's post-conviction claims and denied relief. Therefore, we withhold issuance of the writ because we have resolved this case on the merits and trust the 4th District Court of Appeal will fully comply with the dictates of this order when presented with similar situations in the future, wrote Chief Justice Ricky Polston, with Justices Barbara Pariente, Fred Lewis, Jorge Labarga, and James E.C. Perry concurring. Kylie, a member of the bar's Young Lawyers Division, called the ruling fair but not surprising. "I don't think it came as a tremendous surprise, given the court's focus on accommodation issues lately. Justice Lewis spent a lot of time talking about this issue, and Florida's courts have shown an interest that persons with disabilities have access, particularly since the move to electronic filing," Kylie said. "I think the Supreme Court sent a little bit of message to the courts in Florida, really any court in Florida, to take these things seriously."